Each and every one of us have an old nature. Doesn't matter. We all have that old nature, and the devil is trying to maximize his influence on that old nature that we do have. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. In Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verse 21, it says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." The truth is in Jesus. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation," the former activities of life, the things that you did before you were saved. "You put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust." The word lust there means desires, deceitful desires. It's corrupt. Our old nature is corrupt, it is something that we're going to have to battle day by day and moment by moment all of our lives. But we're to put it off. We're to make a choice and get rid of those things. It says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And how do you do that? Well, "and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." In verse 25, "Wherefore, put away lying, and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So, what we have here is a challenge, a job. If we are going to be victorious over the devil, then we need to understand that he attacks our old man or our old nature. So one of the things that I want you to consider, it talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, before we get to Galatians chapter 5. But in Proverbs chapter 4, and in verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." That isn't the thing that beats in your chest. That's the thing that's between your ears, the innermost of your mind. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And so we need to work on our minds. It all starts with the gray matter that's between my ears, the gray matter that's between your ears. And so while we have the still small voice of the Holy Spirit that is inside of us, we also have sometimes the rather bold and brash temptations that our old nature itself lends to us, or the devil who has access to that old nature, or his demons that work in that realm. So how does he work? Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 19. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, go back, we'll start at verse 16 to get us a little bit of a context. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." And the word "walk" there is talking about walk in dependence and obedience to the Spirit. Day by day and moment by moment, we have choices that come into our life. And if we are going to walk in the Spirit, we have to walk in obedience to what we know the revealed Word of God says. Walk in the Spirit, so in obedience and dependence upon the Spirit. And it says, if you walk in the Spirit, if you're Spirit-controlled, if you're obeying the Spirit, if you're depending upon the Holy Spirit, it says, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I've often talked to you about this battle that goes on, the battle that goes on in my mind, the battle that goes on in your mind, whether you admit it or whether you don't admit it, but it says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. There's a desire battle going on in your life. That's what it's talking about, the lust. There is the desire battle that's going on. Are you going to do what you want, or are you going to do what God wants? Are you going to do what your old man wants, or are you going to do what your new man wants? That it is there someplace, to some degree, in all of our lives, all of the time. And if you don't admit that, you're only deceiving yourself. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. I don't know whether you know what the word diametric means, but they're diametrically opposed one to another. They're opposite ends of the spectrum. The old nature wants you to follow the ways of death. The new nature wants you to follow the ways of life. And they're certainly at odds. They're contrary one with another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And it says, now, the works. Here it is. Here is how the old nature demonstrates itself. Here is the realm in which the devil loves to work and tries to get you to stumble. That's the whole thing. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. The word manifest there means the works of the flesh are made obvious. They're obvious. It says, the works of the flesh are manifest or obvious. Which are these? So let's go ahead, and it's going to be like a grocery list, but I'd like to talk to you and explain you. The first one is, it says, is adulteries. Isn't it interesting? It's adultery, singular, it says. Isn't it interesting how common it is in Kenya that people don't get married anymore? And you know what? It's becoming more and more that way in the United States of America today. People are choosing not to get married, but they live together. They can call it whatever you want to. God clearly calls it adultery. It is moikia is the Greek word. It's 3430 in your Strong's Concordance. What this is talking about is marital unfaithfulness through thought and through deed. We'll talk about the fornication coming in just a minute, but so many times today you have to be very cautious. I just want to tell you, one of the there's great things that you can do, a wealth of information on the internet, but by the same token, I hear more and more stories of where people are finding other people on the internet and leaving their spouses to go and meet somebody who's on the internet. The internet can be good or the internet can be bad, but there's more and more people who are getting themselves involved in an internet relationship and then hiking off someplace and then breaking up their marriage in relationship to that. Because remember where adultery starts. Right here between the ears, all right? The next one is pornia. That's from where we get our word pornography. It's translated by the word, it's called fornication here. And fornication is a broad term. Adultery is a more specific word. Even fornication includes adultery, but It's talking about immoral living, which includes incest, sodomy, bestiality. It includes prostitution, premarital sex. It also includes a lot of things that relate to thoughts and deeds. Boy, I'll tell you what. Our culture is feeding thoughts of immorality that we see today. Some of the new commercials I see are, you've got two guys, they're advertising something particularly on the television, and what are they trying to do? They're trying to get people to believe that same-sex sexual relationships are just fine, and they're not just fine. I just addressed that. But then you've got the Sports Illustrated swimsuit editions, and then you got all the kinds of stuff that's on the internet. Then you got all the kind of shows that are on TV. When was the last time you saw a show on TV that talked about a proper man-woman relationship? Many of the Christian novels that are written don't even reflect those things today. Fornication, immoral living, including incest, sodomy, bestiality, prostitution, premarital sexual relationships, and there's all kinds of rationalizations for all kinds of garbage. And then we come to the term that sometimes is misunderstood, and that is uncleanness. Uncleanness. That's talking about lewdness. So many people are lewd in their talking. They're lewd in their dress. They're impure in their thinking. They're impure in their acting. They have dirty mouths and they have dirty minds. And that's what uncleanness is talking about. I remember when I was the foreman over a number of women. I had a high view of women until I took that job. And then I worked with, because I'd been around women who behaved like ladies for the most part. And then I was thrust into a situation where I was in charge of a bunch of ladies who acted just like lewd women. And I heard words I didn't know what were. And I saw actions which I thought only prostitutes would do. You need to be cautious. Proverbs talks about men looking out for strange women. Be careful. There's always somebody who will try and lay a trap for you. Let's move on with the next one. The next term that we have is lasciviousness. And these are all sensual sins. All the ones, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness, they would fit into the category of sensual sins. Sensual sins. What is lasciviousness? I'm just going to be pretty straight here this evening, and I don't pull a lot of punches, but lasciviousness is shameless, uncontrolled lust and sexual excess. It's being preoccupied with sex. It is demonstrated in the clothes that are worn. One of the things that I hate to see about warm weather is that even to church, people wear less clothes, more revealing clothes. You know, there's certain things that I don't need to see that only your husband should see. So cover them up. Keep them for your husband. You know, I have actually, sitting in the airport, two young girls chirping back and forth and back and forth, finally got up and moved, but basically, they were saying, well, if you got it, you ought to flaunt it. That's basically the philosophy. And you know what? That's lasciviousness. That's inciting desires that cannot be righteously satisfied in a person. There was a woman who was wearing this big thing on a low-cut blouse. As I'm sitting there in the airport, and it says, "I do things my way." I felt like saying, "Well, you know, do me a favor and cover it up." But anyway, the point of the matter is that lasciviousness is often demonstrated in the clothes that are worn, the materials that are read, but even in bodily movements, in the manners of behavior. You can walk like a lady. You don't need to knock out the doors with your hips when you're walking through the door. But let's talk about the men also, you know, that have to, you know, have to show their pecs, you know, and they have to, you know, they want to flaunt it around and all that. So it can be for men as well. Look at me, don't I look grand? If you have the look at me mentality, ladies, let me give you a clue. Do you know where a man's eyes should fall on a lady? Right where mine are falling on Mrs. Strickland right now. Their eyes. You gotta look at a lady's eyes. It ought not to be drawn down. And the lower it gets here, the more a man's eyes are drawn down here. Is that right for him? No! But you know what? Cover it up so it isn't attractive, so that men don't look there. And it doesn't have to be so tight that they can see every wrinkle in your body. Lasciviousness. We live in a lascivious culture. And the manner of behavior towards others and the conversation that we have with others and the mouth, what comes out of our mouth in relationship to others, should not be shameless, uncontrolled, sexually oriented talk, period. End of story. Let's move on to the spiritual sins. The spiritual sins begin next with idolatry. And idolatry, let me just give you a simple explanation. Now, there's not very many people that I know a few, who actually worship idols. But idolatry, think about this, is openly recognizing something or someone as being more important than the Lord God in our lives. It's a real simple definition. Openly recognizing something or someone as being more important than God in our lives. The love of money is the root of all evil. There's a lot of people who are worshiping the almighty dollar. I don't remember who's on the $100 bill, but they're bowing down and worshiping who's ever on the $100 bill. Then let's go to witchcraft. Witchcraft, it's a very interesting word that we have in the word witchcraft here. Let me just get it for you just a moment. Galatians chapter 5, and the word witchcraft is the word commonly translated witchcraft, which is pharmakia, where we get our word pharmacy. Having been and studied and warned about witchcraft for years and years and years, and done it again in a classroom this past week, nearly every incident where witchcraft was investigated by me, some sort of drug abuse or alcohol abuse was involved. Witchcraft and drug abuse are constantly going hand in hand. But allowing someone or something to control our lives other than the Holy Spirit, specifically drugs, alcohol, or even music, becomes witchcraft. You may not like to hear it, but the driving beat that's in so much modern music is what was in the Valley of Tophet, where Solomon built his wives a garden where they could worship their pagan gods. And Tophet meant the Valley of the Drum. Now, if you do the research, and you can do the research, but it's very interesting. If you go back in Japanese religion and their different drums, their big drums and their little drums, it is associated with sexuality, and it is associated with trances, and it is associated with immorality, and it becomes a part of witchcraft. Certainly today, there's being enamored with witchcraft. You see so much of it, and it's candy-coated into what's called New Age spirituality, where people are trying to get in contact with their higher selves. It's alarming to me to see how that yoga is being brought into the public schools and occultic meditation. There's a difference between occultic meditation and biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is where you take a passage of scripture and you get it in your head and you repeat it over and then you break it apart in your head, try and squeeze every ounce of meaning that you can out of that passage of scripture, and you occupy your mind with that passage of scripture. Occult meditation is completely different. And it's so much involved in yoga today. You can like it or lump it, but you got to be very careful if you're involved in the martial arts, because it's used in the martial arts as well, where they try and get you to meditate, and the occult meditation is not filling your mind with scripture or God or truths. It's trying to empty your mind. But I want to tell you, the saying that the idle mind is the devil's workshop is very true. And so many things are, even hospitals now are having meditation rooms and teaching how you can do occult meditation, New Age meditation. They're not going to call it occult meditation. They're going to say, well, we'll teach you some yoga things where you can do some of these forms and sit there and you can meditate on this phrase and it'll bring enlightenment. No, it won't. If you want to meditate, get a passage of scripture. Saturate your mind with it. And bring that over and over into your mind. So the devil is going to work in the realm of the sensual sins. The devil is going to work in the realm of the spiritual sins, where you have idolatry and witchcraft. And then he is going to work, number three, in the realm of the sins of personal relationship. The sins of personal relationship. And isn't it interesting, the first one that is listed here is hatred. The word hatred means to detest a person and wish that person ill will. According to the scriptures and the Lord Jesus Christ, hatred is the moral equivalent of murder. Hatred is the moral equivalent of murder. Now, there are some things that we are to hate. We are to hate sin. Ye that love God hate what? Evil. Yes. You want that. You want to mortify those things. You want those things dead. But it shouldn't be people that you should hate. It was very hard for me, for some reason or other, to sit through the Corrie ten Boom play, The Hiding Place, last night. Corrie ten Boom had a sister, and one of the things that Corrie ten Boom struggled with was hating the people who betrayed her, the man who betrayed her, and her family. And I can understand that, but by the same token, let me just tell you, if your life is filled with hatred for one reason or another, you're not going to be able to go very far with God. You're going to be stunted in your spiritual growth. I remember one man that I hated in my life. He cost me hundreds of dollars, probably thousands of dollars. We got into a foreign country. Everything was a lie that he had said. I wanted vengeance. I wanted to get even. And I've told you part of the story, and I'll not bore you with it again, but I'm thankful for a long time ago, a man who was the president of Bible Track Echoes. His name was Claire Sellers. Paul Levine was the director, but he said, you got to decide what you're going to do. You're either going to minister or you're going to hate. You're going to have to forgive the guy. You're going to have to give him to God, or because I mean to tell you, hatred occupies your mind day and night. And if you see that person who did you the wrong, this guy did us wrong. I mean, he did. But there came a point where I just had to give him to God. But I could have been eating the best steak. And if that guy would have walked into the room, it would have tasted like stinky fish. Even though you're eating the best steak. Why? Right here. Hatred poisoned your mind. Romans chapter 12 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There are so many Christians. They won't get involved with the immorality, the sensual sins. They're not going to be involved with the idolatry. They're not going to be involved with that. But they will get in the realm of hatred. And it so stunts your growth spiritually to hate. What do you do? I've often said, well, I'd like to punch their lights out in Christian love. But that isn't the way to deal with it. The hard way to deal with it is be not overcome with evil, of evil, as it says in Romans chapter 12, but overcome evil with what? Good. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, say, starve, sucker! No. If thy enemy hunger, feed him. Oh, is that hard? If he's thirsty, give him a drink. But you know what? God is the one who keeps the books. If you hate somebody this evening, you got to quit it. You got to put that off. You got to give it to God, because most Christians aren't going to be involved in the sensual sins. They're not going to be involved in the spiritual sins like idolatry and witchcraft. But they traffic in hatred. Many Christians I know cause themselves all kinds of problems because they allow the hatred to get a hold in their life, and it stunts their growth, and it dries them up spiritually, and it makes them behave like they've sucked 96 lemons and they go around like pickle pusses. And then they wonder why they don't have many friends. Well, hatred means to detest a person and wish that person ill will. And hatred is the moral equivalent of murder. It often ends up in vengeance or trying to get even. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. It's not yours. The Hatfields and the McCoys could have settled things 85 years earlier if they had figured that out. A bunch of them claim to be Christians. Well, let's look at the next one. It's one that we don't know a lot about. It's variance, but let me just tell you what variance is. Quarreling and discord. Quarreling and discord. Do you suffer from last worditis? Do you suffer from last worditis? There's some people who, regardless of what it is, they always have to have the last word. I can tell you, having dealt with many married couples for many years, that when quarreling begins, genuine communication stops. Let me just tell you what's going to happen. When the quarreling starts, the man's going to dig his foxhole here and take his stand. And the woman's going to dig her foxhole there and take her stand. And it doesn't matter from that point on what the truth really is, because they're just going to take their stand. Remember the saying, I don't know, they still had it when I was a kid, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know when I said that? When I was hurting inside so bad. That's the biggest lie there ever is. You know, Job said to his friends, they were his friends, how long will you break me in pieces with your words? Is not the tongue a fire set on fire of, as I used to say when I was a little kid, H-E double hockey sticks? You know, this uncontrolled tongue can say things that really hurt. And you know what we're in the mind to say after we said those hurtful things? I didn't mean it. Yeah, you did. Yes, you might regret that you said it, but you meant it at the moment that you did say it. Not kidding anybody. And the thing of it is we usually know, in relationship to spouses or close friends, we usually know the buttons that we can push to say the things that will cause the problems, elicit the response, and make it hurt. Isn't that true? Is it right? It's not right when I do it. And you know what? To murder the king's English, it ain't right when you do it either. But you see, so often Christians don't traffic in the other things. But when it comes to the quarreling and the discord, not only do we quarrel, but then we throw gasoline on the fire because we know the buttons to push. You know what that is? That's sin. That's sin. And you know what? That is not the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the flesh and the work of the devil. Well, that's as far as I want to take it this evening, but I know some of these are sobering things, and I just want to point them out to remind myself and to remind you that our old nature, the flesh, is something that we need to battle moment by moment and day by day. Don't focus on those things, you know. Like I said, probably you're not messing in the idolatry. You're not messing in the witchcraft. You're not messing in the adultery. You're not messing in the fornication. And you're saying, well, I'm doing pretty good. Don't pat yourself on the back too much. Because you might not be there with the sensual sins, and you're probably not there with the spiritual sins of idolatry and witchcraft. But far too many of us are in the sins of personal relationships and hatred, various, and then next week we'll look at emulations and wrath and strife and seditions. We're going to go down through them because the attacks of the devil focus so much on these areas. You know, we get hindered from living a victorious Christian life because we're walking in the flesh and we're minding the things of the flesh and not the things of the Spirit. We just need to get ready and we just need to get busy and take off the old man and put on the new man. Let's have our heads bowed.